Welcome back to Talk and Shop, the e-commerce strategy podcast brought to you by Cyber, New Zealand's leading e-commerce experts and Shopify Plus partner. We're here to share our knowledge and insider tips on all things e-commerce with the help of some amazing industry guests. New episodes available every week so you can make the most of your business online. Stay tuned for this week's episode coming right up. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Talk and Shop, the e-commerce podcast for merchants who are serious about growing their business. Welcome, Leo.
Hey, Emily.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday indeed. That was a great intro.
Thank you. We're recording on a Friday. Normally we record on Thursday, so the Friday mood is definitely here.
It's about time to go out and have some drinks. Wait, actually, not totally. It's only 9:30, maybe not.
It's 5 p.m. somewhere.
Yeah, it is 5 p.m. It is beer o'clock somewhere in the world. That is correct. Emily, we've got a packed show today. Tell me what the theme of today is.
Today we are talking about cross-migrating your e-commerce store. So if you've been on an existing platform and it's not working for you, you've built it yourself and your business is growing but the platform's not growing with you, how do you know that it's time to change platforms? What platform do you choose? Who do you work with? How long is it going to take and what does it cost?
Yep, all of that and a lot more. For those of you that do listen to us regularly, we had Greg on the show talking about their experience going from Magento to Shopify Plus. Mm-hmm. But we had so many people give us feedback wanting to know a little bit more about when is the right time to move over? Why should I move over? You know, what could happen if I don't do things correctly? So we're going to get into all of that today. Absolutely. What else we got coming up?
We have our regular segment.
Yeah.
Where we catch up on some news, share some exciting things. We haven't told each other what we're sharing today, so it's going to be a bit exciting.
Surprise.
And then we'll jump into it. But I just wanted to give a quick shout out to our sponsors for this episode. So happy to have sponsors for season 3. So shout out to Akendo for sponsoring this episode. We love the team at Akendo. I mean, I think I'm a bit biased because they're based out in Australia and I'm an Aussie. Mm. But I think they're pretty bloody great. And if you want to know more about Akendo, stay tuned and we'll tell you all about it soon.
I love how you said you're Aussie and then followed by pretty bloody great.
Yeah, so, of course.
No, but we do. We do love Akendo. Thank you so much. And of course, there'll be links on this podcast.
Absolutely.
For you guys to know what Akendo is all about, how you can use it to utilize and make more sales online. Because at the end of the day, Emily, we're only doing this because we continue to make more money online and more sales online, I should say, and help businesses grow. So in that, with the news, can I go first?
Of course you can. Let's get into the news.
Something that's a big number. $41 billion, $29 billion US, $41 billion NZD. Do you know what this is?
No, but I mean, if you're going to give me that amount of money, that would be lovely heading into the weekend.
What could you do with $41 billion? Anyway, if you don't know, folks, Square, which is another CMS for e-commerce based in the States, has purchased or will be purchasing Afterpay, which is Nick and them from Australia. They started this 7 years ago, and now they're being acquired by Square. Very good move by Square to be bringing this as their own functionality. Yeah, that's big news. So
just more Aussies doing amazing things, really.
to tell you the truth, I talked to a lot of retailers and, you know, they've said in the past there was a lot of Afterpay, lay-by, you know, this and that. But now they feel like everyone just walks in and goes, hey, have you got Afterpay? So yeah. I feel like Afterpay has really taken over the market here in New Zealand, Australia.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of billboards all over Auckland at the moment. And I love what they're doing with them. Some of the marketing is so clever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah. It's really on their branding. It's on point. So well done, whoever's doing the marketing for Afterpay.
Yeah.
You're doing a good job. But look, Square have done things really well in the past. They were one of the first ones to accept people selling cannabis online.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, and then Shopify kind of went, oh, we see what you're doing. And then they came and said, hey, we will allow that as well. So keep an eye out on Square. But that's my tidbit for today.
Yeah. Taking it back quickly to Square, would you buy shares in it?
So I had shares.
We love talking shares here at Diver.
I had shares. I had that was like 70 US. I believe they're now about 240, 280. Ooh. And that's, again, the moral of the story. You don't sell your shares. You keep them for 20 years.
You hold on for dear life.
Leo was just greedy and got out and bought crypto, and then crypto went down. But anyway, that's another podcast. But I think I will rebuy. I honestly think
I mean, 240 is not bad.
240 is not bad if I still had him. Yeah, not bad. Thanks, Emily. Thanks for the reminder.
All right. So shall I share what
What's
I've
your
got
little
to?
News?
I would say it's like not specifically econ based, but I can see how it kind of will tie in and kind of a look into what might be happening.
Tell me.
So we know Amazon is just dominating everything, and often it's a bad thing. But they have launched in some of their physical stores in the US a service called Just Walk Out.
I have no idea where this is going. All right, Just Walk Out.
So this is literally, so they've launched this technology, and I'm assuming that they're expanding it into other retailers in the future. But right now there's fresh produce stores in the US and the UK that are Amazon Fresh stores. You can literally walk in. All you have to do is swipe your credit card. You don't have to have an Amazon account. You don't have to sign up for anything. You just tap your credit card on the way in. You pick up what you want. Mm. If you put something back, it knows that you've put it back.
Mm-hmm.
And you literally just walk out of the store with what you want.
Yeah. I've actually, now that you told me this, I saw this video like years and years ago, but it was slightly different. They said you just walk in and apparently your cell phone was meant to pick up that you're there, and your card is loaded up on your phone.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could pick a product, but then if you put it back, it knows. And then you just walk out with all those
Would feel so weird.
Yeah.
And it's if you want a receipt, they have machines that you go and tell it that you want a receipt.
Right.
And then if you've done it once, every time after then, it will continually just automatically email you a receipt.
So, and this is specific retail stores in the States have this now going ahead. Oh.
Like, and fresh produce stores too. So like weighing up fresh fruit and veg and picking up different things.
Yeah.
You just walk in, add things to your bag, walk out.
Wow. It's going to be tough for security, right? You're a security guard standing there going, shit, I hope they're on that Amazon thing. Or if not, they've just walked out with a whole new TV under their arm. Yep, I got the Amazon thing. Anyway, Just Walk Out. I love it. I love it. It needs to be frictionless like that. Just like I've mentioned about e-commerce, you're just going to make it so easy to get to the checkout. It's going to be the same thing now physically. Like, I can grab those pair of jeans and walk out. Maybe more with produce, and then it'll come more into the retail. But awesome. That's awesome. All right, folks, let's get into the real nitty-gritty of this episode. Cross-migration.
Mm-hmm.
You've written a book on this.
Yeah, I've written an entire book on it. So I should really know everything about it, but sometimes when you write things and you finish it, you kind of put it out of your mind. So I've had to do a refresher course on this myself. But I think I've got a pretty good idea of who, what, where, when, why, how much of cross-migrating for e-commerce merchants.
Well, let's see. Let's see what we can do, both you and I, talking about this. Maybe we'll start off, what is cross-migration?
Cross-migration is literally migrating your store from one e-commerce platform to another.
Mm-hmm.
So it's picking up all of your content, all of the back end, your apps, everything, and moving it to an entirely new platform. So that could be Magento to Shopify, BigCommerce to Magento, you know, whatever it is, but it's moving to an entirely new e-com platform.
Yeah, and the word comes from what I guess birds cross-migrating, is it?
I guess so.
Okay, yeah, I'm just wondering where
I didn't come up with the term, it just is there.
So I know you've written about 8 major bullet points that we should hit. Do you want to read out what each one, well, not each one all at the same time, let's maybe go with the first one. I'll put in my 2 cents and you put in your 2 cents. Should we work it that way?
Well, we've got eight reasons of why you might know that it's time to cross-migrate.
Okay.
So, yeah, we can run through the 8 signs that it might be time. I mean, you might not have all of these. You might have 1 or 2, but sometimes 1 or 2 is just enough for you to think, nah, my business isn't growing anymore. I need to make a change.
Mm, mm. Well, what's one of your first signs that it's time?
I mean, it should be pretty obvious to you, but broken functionality. If things aren't working, you need to look a little bit deeper into why.
Yeah, I definitely. So a lot of the conversations I have with merchants is we start discussing why is it that you want to move over? And of course, broken functionality is up there. And we're talking, you know, hey, you got a competitor that's doing XYZ and you can't, and you can see that it's affecting your business. There's automation that you, maybe you don't know that you can have that is going to save you a lot of time, money, reduce overheads. You don't have to hire as many staff members. So that's definitely another area where people look at. And then there's just like ongoing costs.
Mm.
I don't know if you want me to go on about this.
Yeah,
stuff.
please do.
So, you know, a lot of the times, you know, there might be licensing fees that you have to be for that commerce, so that platform, I should say. It could just be the maintenance constantly going down. You've got an agency charging you $700, $800, $900, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000. I've heard it all. You know, I've seen
just
it range.
Just to fix something simple.
Yeah, fix something simple just to host your website. Mm. And look, a lot of the big players, they're probably on about a $5,000 per month hosting fee, which allows them to have about two, maybe three tickets per month that they're allowed to send to their web developer to say, I've got a problem, please fix it. And that's getting up there. That's quite costly, and that's, you know, having to wait till something breaks, and then you have to tell the person, hey, something's broken. Mm-hmm. Like, you never want that as a merchant.
Yeah. No.
So that could be, you know, red flag that you're starting to see. Transaction fees might be going up. Your bounce rate might be going up. Your conversion rate might be going down. There's a lot of signs, I think, that make people go, ooh, I need to do something. But I think the most important thing is, if you're getting to a stage where you just can't sleep at night thinking, will my website be up tomorrow?
Yeah.
Will I make sales tomorrow? Because I don't even know if they can get to the checkout page anymore because all the links are broken. Definitely time to talk to an expert. So
yeah, definitely.
I think that's one of the signs.
And I think it's also super important to touch on, you know, is your business growing? How fast is it growing? I mean, in the last 18 months, so many businesses grew beyond, I think, perhaps some of their own expectations or dreams. And if your website isn't keeping up with the growth or the amount of transactions that are coming or the amount of visitors, or you're needing to implement more things and your platform doesn't allow it, that's a major red flag or something that you should probably look into.
I love that you brought the positive and I was all about the negative in what I was saying. So yes, absolutely. How did I not think of that? Growth is a wonderful thing, but it comes with its challenges. And if you're realizing that this platform just can't do what you need, maybe it needs to talk to a few other things. Maybe it needs to talk to an inventory system. Mm-hmm. Maybe now you've got five retail stores and you need to know where your stock is between the stores and your online website. Absolutely, you're right. That is another sign. We need to start looking at another platform.
Or even if maybe you haven't had as much growth as you want, but you know that you have a solid plan for the next 5 years, you need to look into, is your platform going to allow for that growth? And do you need to look at what functionality you need and, you know, the technology behind it? Is it going to be able to handle the amount of pages, the amount of content that you might want to add? Or are you looking at expanding into other regions? You know, you kind of need to look at all of those things for scalability.
Mm. Yeah, good point. Speed equals sales, folks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Cool. What else we got?
I mean, there's a lot of platforms, I think, that perhaps are very much legacy platforms. And they're just, I mean, either the brand or the developers just aren't building on them anymore, or they've left it kind of version one in the background and they've just kind of moved on to version two but haven't touched version one for 5 years. If you're on the version one, you're kind of going to know that it's the end of life for that platform, and there's not going to be much support around it because that whole business is probably more focused on version two.
Definitely. And browser technology changes. Yeah. And so if you're on old coding of PHP, your site will get slower. It could be, you know, hosted on some really crappy old server in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It could be in someone's basement. I think Greg mentioned that story that they had their whole website was on someone's computer in someone's basement. And so if that computer got turned off because the cleaning lady just flicked the switch.
Bye-bye.
So you don't want to be in that. You need to be in the cloud. And I think a lot of us today in 2021, we're in the cloud. But in case you're not, come talk to Emily.
No, please don't come and talk to me. And then, I mean, touching on the cloud too, I mean, the cloud is really good for, you know, knowing that your website is going to stay up and running, but it's also really good for security. And I mean, the amount of hackers and people out there trying to do sketchy things, you need to know that your platform is giving you supreme security. So if you haven't looked at that, since, you know, you might have first set up your site, a lot of businesses kind of just do it at the very beginning and don't review it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what is your platform security like? Is it updating with kind of new technologies and helping fight that for you? Because that is going to be the worst thing ever if you kind of wake up in the morning and your whole website is hacked.
Cybersecurity is getting bigger and bigger.
Major.
And I read a stat, I think I mentioned in one of the shows, 33% of business owners do pay their ransom.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be caught in that situation. And I think, you know, being on a platform like Shopify and Shopify Plus, that is something that should not
No.
Knock on wood, will not ever happen because those guys run a very tight ship. But if you're, yeah, like you said, Emily, if you're on a legacy platform, there are a lot of back doors left open.
Yep.
We don't want to go there.
No.
Right. Can I change it up a little bit?
Yeah, go for it.
So what are some things to consider when looking for an e-commerce platform?
I think it's a good time maybe to sit down and review your business as a whole and identify what your goals are and what you really need from a platform that suits your particular business, whether it's the industry that you're in, the products that you're selling, or the customers that you're selling to. You need to know, you know, maybe do I need to have this particular functionality? Do I need this kind of automation? Does it integrate with specific marketing apps that I want it to? But having a really clear picture of what you need from a business point of view will help you make some decisions when it comes to comparing functionality between different platforms.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. I know in the past I've also looked at, I've looked at competitors and what are the competitors doing and what platform are they on? And I think we've seen this a lot at the moment. Everybody's coming onto Shopify.
Yep.
And a lot of people are realizing that, like, hey, my competitor's on Shopify, you know, and 99.99% of the time it is the right platform to come onto. Of course, there's situations where it may not be.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think that's something that you have to, as a business owner, you have to look at, well, what I know that, look, there's a saying, and I always say this, like, I don't turn around and look at my competitors. I'm focusing forward because if I keep looking behind me, I'll slow down. And that is true. I think, you know, we do look forward and we do our own thing and we know what we're doing works. But from time to time, not that often, we do have to kind of have a look and go, what are they doing? Oh, yeah, okay, cool, and move on. So as a business owner, if I'm about to move platforms, I'll do a lot of research and what are my competitors using? What apps might be they using? Mm-hmm. What is their strategy to get people to buy? Oh, they're using Afterpay.
Yeah.
Or they've got a really awesome quiz that asks you 5 questions and then gives you the recommendations of some awesome products. Okay, how do they do that? Was that custom built? Was that an app? Is that a Shopify thing? So I think doing research around that is really important. I think you've talked about security, support. So if I'm going on to another platform, I want to know who's supporting it. Like, is there support? Can I talk to somebody about anything in case anything happens? Is that the web developer or is that the person that owns the CMS, example, Shopify?
And even the community around it, you know, I think our Shopify NZ Facebook group is such a cool community because, you know, we might not have the time to jump in there and answer all of our community questions, but everybody in there is helping each other out. And if someone has an issue with something in Shopify, another merchant might jump in and say, oh, actually, I had this issue last week, or here's a simple fix. You know, it's really not an issue. Looking at the community and who's willing to help is really cool.
Absolutely. And again, if I'm jumping ship, I need to understand how many people actually use the CMS.
Yeah.
1.8 million, I think we're up to with Shopify. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, that Facebook group, I think we're getting close to 2,000 people in there in New Zealand. I think there was a stat that came out. There's actually 25,000 merchants using Shopify in New Zealand.
Yeah.
That stat came out yesterday. And you mentioned that Facebook group, great place, Shopify NZ.
Yeah, shout out to our team in there. We love you all.
You know, I started that page and no longer post on that page because I found out that I'm not needed.
Yeah.
But you merchants are far smarter than me. You're just all helping each other out. So I've just said, you know, let them go. Go. Have a good chat in there. But that's what the whole point of that page is. Do you know I nearly got banned and that page nearly got taken down? Shopify didn't like that I was using the word Shopify.
No, sure. You never told me this.
Yeah. And some people complained that I was getting all the merchants to go into there and they're like, oh, it's not a good place. But I was like, nope, people need a voice.
No,
this is the place for it.
Yeah, truly the hub for New Zealand Shopify merchants.
Yeah, it was meant to be called something else. And I said, nah, I'm going to call it Shopify NZ. And I got away with it. And now it's too big. They can't do anything about it.
I think they love it secretly.
They do. They really do.
Yep.
I mean, we've got Shopify staff members in there now.
Moderating it.
Yeah, so. Anyway, we're getting off topic as I usually do. Other things, if I was a business owner looking before I moved, is maybe transaction payments. You know, will my costs go up or down if I am jumping ship? You know, can this payment gateway that I use, can it be used on this CMS?
Yeah.
Or does this CMS have a much better one? Like Shopify has Shop. And ShopPay, you know, they're just fantastic. Mm-hmm. So those are things. What should you prepare to cross migrate, Emily? Have you written that in your book?
I have written it in my book.
I'm putting you on the spot. What should you do?
Well, I think it's important that, you know, should you be following our processes that we suggest in our ebook, which this ebook will be linked in the show notes of this episode. You know, if you have sat down and identified what you need as a business, you should then know where those holes are and exactly what you want to be the outcome when you cross migrate. You know, it's not just picking up all of the existing content and putting it on the new platform and expecting it to work. Mm. You'll probably have some great ideas of, you know, some changes that you want to make and how the checkout should look. So making sure that you have this clear picture of exactly what you want and laying it out. Mm. So that's, you know, preparing all of your blog content, what kind of product pages and collections you might want. Do you need to redo all of your lifestyle photography?
Mm.
Preparing all of that content so that when you're kind of ready to start the whole process, it's going to be a little bit more seamless.
Yeah, I think clients that come to us with a brief are far better in a better place and know exactly what they're wanting. And then we, you know, put our expertise on top and work on that. I'll just touch on a little bit of that. Content absolutely is important. You need to make sure that what's going to be on the new website. For SEO purposes, I always talk about don't try and change it too much. But SEO is a huge part of what you should be looking at before you cross-migrate. You know, where are you? Have you done an audit on your website? Do you understand how well you're ranking on this? Coming over to Zyber, helping you with cross-migration, we do a benchmarking on all these audits. And the reason is for that is, you know, if you're scoring 60 on your old platform for SEO, when you moved over, hopefully we can show you something that says 90. Now, if it's gone down to 30, we've done something wrong and it's on us to fix it. So you should really be thinking about, do you know these things? Have you benchmarked? Where are you ranking with these keywords before you cross-migrate? So you know that you've had a successful cross-migration afterwards. One thing that is really important is if you are cross-migrating and you're a small team or a big team, someone needs to be responsible.
Yeah, someone needs to be the champion of that whole project.
Yeah, so make sure someone in your team is that person. It's not split between five of you. No, there's one person. And the agency or whoever you're working with, if it's a one-man band or a big agency, knows to be dealing with that person. That's where all the final decisions are coming through that person. And everything's in writing. So everything can, you know, there's a paper trail on all decisions that have been made. How about timelines?
Well, I mean, I was going to take it back a little step there. If you are looking at doing this, how do you know if it's right to work with an agency or not? And if you are looking at working with an agency, how do you know what to look for to make sure that they're going to do the right job for you?
Are you asking me the question? Or are you setting it up and you're going to tell me?
No. I'm asking you the question.
So how do you know you're right for an agency? Okay. So some of the answers here would be, it definitely would be the volume of transactions that you're doing. It would definitely be how big your business is. Because if your Lion Brewery's selling all of these beers across the country or the world and you went to a one-man band that said, yeah, I think I know how to do this, it's probably not a good look for the GM or the marketing manager.
Yeah.
So it will come down to a little bit of that. You know, A, you've got a lot of transactions. B, you've got a lot of complications. You've got a lot of things that need to talk to other third-party software. So again, you need to be looking at a team that has done this before. Hey, can you integrate with XYZ? So there's definitely that. Do you have some input while I think of an answer?
I mean, if you're weighing up whether or not you need an agency, most likely you will, no matter what the size of your business is. I think if you're thinking about migrating, it's a pretty big project and one that you only want to do once. You know, you don't want to have to do it twice or spend so much time doing it yourself and then have to reach out to an agency for help anyway. And then it comes back to what Leo was saying, is finding the right agency that fits your business size and scalability. If you're, you know, doing $100,000 a year to $500,000 a year, you might want to go with a smaller agency, but who has worked with other businesses of your size. If you're at that $1 million plus, you're kind of looking at an agency who has worked with some really big clients.
I mean, it also comes down to personality and will you gel with this company? Because to be honest with you, it's a huge partnership.
It's not like a two-week job.
It's not a two-week job, and it really is getting to really know who you're going to be working with. Because you know, you could meet the salesperson and he's really smooth and he's really slick, and I'm not talking about you, Waldo. And you know, and then you got to work with the project manager mm-hmm. and the production manager and the lead designer and the digital strategist, and they, you know, you might not get along with them, or they don't understand your product or your branding. So yeah. it's really cool to meet the whole team, and I think that's something that we do, and we say to them when we think it's actually a really exciting project. Yeah. Mm. We do turn down work. We mm-hmm. say no. We say, hey, I don't think what you do or where you're going with this is suited to what we are, who we are, and what we do. So that's really important. Make sure that you can see that synergy between the two.
Yeah, because, I mean, now coming back to the timelines, mm-hmm. like we said, it's not a two-week project. What is the timeline like?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So it depends on the scope of works, mm-hmm. and I think the best thing that we do is once we get it all done, we give you a statement of work, how everything's going to be doing. We give you a Gantt chart with showing you the timelines, and we stick to those timelines as best as we can, mm-hmm. as long as you are working really well with us or you are working really well with your agency and communicating back and forth. Daily whips, mm-hmm. weekly whips all help to get to those set timelines. So I can't really give you an answer because mm-hmm. I have seen projects go through here as quick as 2 weeks, and I've seen other projects about 2 years.
Ideally, what would you say, like 6 months?
Okay. So let's just say you have you've got a standard e-commerce with about 1,000 SKUs. You've got some integrations with third-party logistics mm-hmm. and an inventory software. I'd probably say anything between 8 to 12 weeks. And then if it's really, really custom stuff after that, it could be a little bit longer because you're trying to do some mobile app stuff. Mm-hmm. You're trying to be really funky and cool. That could, you know, prolong that. But I was going to get into talking about there's phases to all this.
Yes.
And so I think it's, hey, what's the MVP model? We need to get live because, hey, this other site we're on keeps going down on Saturdays whenever we do a special.
Yeah.
And when there's more than 100 people on my site, it goes down. So if that's the case, then just do what you can to get onto the new platform and get live ASAP. As long as a person can get to the checkout page mm-hmm. and give you money, then that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then talk about phase two and phase three. And that's something that we have to do a lot with our clients because they have so many ideas, so many strategies that if we actually try to do it all before going live, the world would have changed, a pandemic comes through, and then the whole strategy changes again. So it's about, going through these phases.
Yeah, and also, like you've already mentioned, keeping Google happy, because if all of a sudden Google recognizes that your site is completely different, they're going to think, oh my goodness, you know, what's happened, and completely you might be on the second or third page after being on the first page of Google search results for the last 2 years. Keeping Google happy is very important.
Definitely. So always make sure that you have an SEO plan with the person mm-hmm. that you're talking about what's going to happen when we cross migrate. Hey, the URL of my page is the same as the old website. Are we doing some 301 redirects here? Are you doing even 301 redirects on what the old images were called? You know, there's a lot to the SEO side of it. I don't think we should go on too long about it because that's a whole episode itself that I could do. But really, at the end of the day, if there's nothing in writing about the SEO strategy, about what you're doing with that person, red flag.
Yeah, it should absolutely be within the process, not an afterthought.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. and also, Emily, one thing I wanted to say is once a website goes live, that's not the finish line.
No, I mean, it is definitely a point of celebration and it is a huge goal to achieve for the brand and the agency, or if you're just doing it by yourself, amazing. But once you get to that point, the whole point of, you know, cross-migrating is so that you can grow your business and continually adapt and change and meet those customer needs. So once you're live, now is the point that you need to continually work to update your strategy and keep things up to date so that you're, you know, growing your average order value and increasing that customer lifetime value and you get return customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think you know this. Recently, I've just had a child. Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't. My wife did. So well done, Mum. But I think now I look at, you know, the e-commerce. You're getting a website build, you know. My wife had a baby in the tummy and then, you know, the baby comes out, that's not the end of it now.
No.
There's actually a truckload more work. Like, what? I got to change diapers and feed it, and I got to wake up at 3 a.m. So hopefully not that bad with a new e-commerce. But what I'm trying to say is it's you actually have to work a lot closer with your strategist now that it's live, because you're getting this raw data coming in.
Yeah.
Is it making you more sales or not as many sales as you were before? And if it's not, why?
Yeah.
Go back, make those changes, tweak those things and see where you can go with it. So definitely you want to work with an agency that gives you, or somebody that gives you warranty once the website goes live, where it be 2 weeks or 4 weeks. In case there's bugs, in case there's issues, they should be right there and then. Usually someone goes live, they go, cool, that's it, close shop. They turn around and they start working on their other client's project. What it needs to be is, cool, we're live, we're on standby. We're right here if you need anything. Usually, and if you know, if you're really nice, we'll be at your premises. And we're making sure that you understand how to fulfill that order.
Yeah.
How's the pick and pack guys downstairs doing? Do they understand how to read the new platform and, you know, what they should be doing if something needs to be, I don't know, just return funds or whatever. So that's really important. They should be on hand as soon as you go live. So talk about them about warranty periods. Talk about what do you do once we go live. How quick can I get access to you if anything's gone wrong? Because your business processes may have to change with this new platform. Oh, the old platform could do X, Y, and Z. The new one can't. Well, actually it can, but it's done this way.
Yeah.
Have you got those processes in place to do that? So fun times when you go live.
It is, but it's a very exciting time. And I'm sure if you are that champion person within your business who's leading up this whole task, I'm sure you'll probably want to sleep for about 2 weeks after it goes live. But take it on the head, you know, keep going with it and keep, you know, you've put in the hard work. So continue working with it to reap the rewards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Emily, some people always ask us, why does it cost so much to cross platform? I want to put this on you because you don't do sales.
Well, I don't do sales, but I can see the value in it. And I guess I technically sell it as the marketing manager. But, you know, yes, it is for some businesses a huge outlay cost and it might shock you. You know, you might go into it expecting an X amount of dollars and it's triple or double what you thought. But when you think about it, it's that, well, it should be. When, if done right, it should be the last time that you invest such a significant amount of money in your website at one time. If, you know, the whole goal of cross-migrating is so that you can continue to grow and you stick on that one platform for the rest of hopefully your business life. And if you think about then, you know, for me personally, I think about like cost per wear if I'm justifying buying an expensive clothing
product.
You know, cost per day, cost per customer over a lifetime of your business, that's going to come down to dollars and cents, you know, rather than a huge figure. And also the time it takes and the expertise of the agency actually completing the work. You know, they are not just copy and pasting another site that they've done for another client. They're actually working in the back end to make sure that everything is right for your business and ready to go.
Yeah, you nailed a lot of topics there. I'm going to go to the first one you mentioned about doing it once, doing it right, and staying on one platform. So I think the old legacy model that a lot of people are used to is you would have to like build a new website every 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And so every 2-3 years, somebody would be throwing in another $5, $10, $20, $100,000. And now that has really changed because we have such really good platforms like Shopify, where it's now, hey, you go on this platform, but you're going to stay on this platform for years.
Yeah.
But you should constantly be investing in it.
Yeah.
And that's what one of my sayings is like, if you invest in yourself, other people will invest in you.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you're going to market and you're looking like shit, guess what? I'm not buying from you.
No.
So, and I think that's a really good point. And I think people suddenly realize like, oh, that's a little bit more than I thought. And then it's like, well, you're going to be on this for a long time and you're constantly going to work for it. But folks, a true salesperson or a true strategist says it's all about the return on investment.
Yeah.
And it's quite funny because I have a lot of clients that come to me and say, hey, we want to do, you know, we're doing $100,000 and we want to do $300,000 in the next 60 days. And I go, okay, well, here's my price. And they say, ooh, that's a bit costly. I'm like, well, you want to shoot up by $200,000 per month. How much are you willing to pay?
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, that's a good point. So it all depends on what you're trying to achieve. Could be the difference of the costs. As I mentioned again, maybe if you break it down into phases, it might be a lot easier to swallow.
And continue
working with that partner. Awesome. Downsides of cross-migrating.
Downsides?
So we talked about all the good things you should do and why you should do it, but is there ever a thing that, you know, is there a downside to cross-migrating?
I guess maybe depending on how much you change the design of your website, customers might be a bit shocked if your website all of a sudden looks completely different, and the journey from homepage to checkout might be different for them. And so it might be, you know, getting the customers to learn again how to use your site, but hopefully the UX and design actually guides the customer quicker to checkout.
SEO, if we've talked about it, correctly, you may lose your first spot, or depending on where you were, somewhere on the first page, suddenly you're on the second page.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage of people going to the second page is so low, and if a lot of your traffic was from organic and your sales were organic, you've just lost that. So you've just really slowed down your business. And, you know, we've had a client actually write us a letter of someone that that happened. They decided to go with somebody else because I think they were about, I can't remember what it was. It was a bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back and said, yeah, that was a really dumb move, though I might have been saving, let's say, $10,000 or $20,000. I actually worked out that I lost about $300,000 from the SEO now not ranking so well. So SEO is important. Of course, the platform you're going on to now, we've discussed all those points of what you should be looking for, so hopefully the platform is better. But if you did actually go from a, you know, something that was quite good to something a lot not so good, and just because you thought you're saving a few dollars, that might not be a right move. What else could go wrong? Hopefully nothing.
Yeah, hopefully nothing. I mean, like, coming back to the cost of the platform, you have to think about it as the whole reason that you're doing it, hopefully, is to grow as a business. So right now, you know, spending $2,000 a month on the platform might seem wild, but if it's going to foster that growth and triple your sales in 6 months, then that $2,000 is going to feel like nothing, you know? You have to think in the way that I'm doing this because my business is going to grow, or not because it might grow, you know?
Absolutely. And we were talking before about the cost, and I always said, look at your e-commerce as like another staff member.
Yeah.
And it's a sales guy that's, or sales lady, or salesperson, I should say, who's constantly working for you.
Yeah.
Is up all night, 24/7, never asks for a pay rise. maybe transaction fees or something is their pay rise. But you know, like and if you suddenly go, oh, you're right, I do a lot of B2B, and if all my sales start coming through online and I don't need Jim and Bob out on the road, but they're now here helping me out with other things, that makes perfect sense why I would invest XYZ into my company. So definitely. Now look, you've written this book.
Yes.
What have we missed out? What else do we need to go through?
Well, there is a section that does talk about, and we have touched on, you know, when the website goes live, that it's not the finish point and what, you know, you should be doing continuously. But we haven't really talked about, you know, continuously working on the website in terms of working with an agency and that ongoing support and that relationship that continually builds on the website.
We had Troy on,
I think it's
season two. And if you haven't, look for that. I think it's the title, something, Support and Success.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to a strategist that would work with you and how they help you and your business, how they are active, not reactive to what you're asking them to do, how they're seeing, you know, the data, the holes, the expertise they've had with other clients, how they know they can push your brand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really fascinating because we do have a case study, and I'm hoping we get this gentleman on to tell us about, you know, there's zero brand awareness to millions, and I'm talking millions and millions of dollars after 6 months, and they're on what we call support and success. Mm-hmm. And I hope he comes on and tells us and shares his story.
That would be brilliant.
It's amazing. But you do. You in today's world, I being a business owner, I'm far too busy doing, you know, what should be the high level stuff. And I do need strategists. Mm. I do need people to help me in working out what am I doing next, where are we going next, what is the industry doing. And if you've got staff members that can do that, awesome. But not everybody does.
Mm.
And I think that's what's really important about having a strategist that can work alongside. I'm not sure if you have certain key points that you wanted to share on that.
Nothing that was super specific. But, I mean, it should – having a strategist should keep you, you know, ahead of the competition. It should help you, you know, step out of your business and not constantly working in it. And, you know, things like, we might do another episode on this soon, but like your sales periods, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas, you know, it's getting more and more competitive every year. And if your website isn't up to scratch and you don't have the marketing strategies behind it to support it, you know, that's a major loss of sales for you and your brand.
Yeah, and every year they say start earlier.
Yeah.
So it actually means that Black Friday and Cyber Monday are actually lasting longer.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're in August.
Have you already started yours? Have you got your strategy down? Because if you haven't, yeah, you should be talking to somebody
about
that.
You really should, yeah.
You really should. Yeah, it is crazy. It is crazy. And with competition getting so mm-hmm. fierce out there and everyone jumping online, you got to be onto it. You got to be smart. And if you've already got a 12-month roadmap with all this, this is now, like I mentioned, you can go and have a good night's sleep knowing that this is all mm-hmm. there. You know, on a certain key date, your theme's going to change with all the new sales, et cetera, it'll revert back once the sale is over and you're not scrambling at the end. Or the other thing of that, you're just sitting there going, oh, I hope I get some sales this week.
Yeah. I hope.
You hope. Don't hope.
No. No. Yeah, be sure. Be sure
that you're going to absolutely smash it.
Yeah.
What else is in this wonderful book? I'm looking at you flicking through. It's actually really nicely laid out, really easy to read. How many pages is there?
26. It's a solid. 26 pages.
So it's easy to read straight through. It's really going to help merchants understand the right time to cross migrate and mm-hmm. why. There's so much more, folks. I think I could have talked about, you know, I do Excel sheets with clients and we look at transaction fees from, you know, having to international clients buying from your website. Do you then need multiple sites, one for New Zealand, one mm-hmm. for Australia, one for USA? We look at costs about third-party logistics here in New Zealand or in the USA. We look at the transaction fees that are buy now, pay later takes from you and, you know, how does that look like on the books? Staff costs, automation, and how does it? So there's all of that that goes into before making a really good decision to proceed. And that is the reason why, yeah, if you work with a strategist, you'll get all of this rather than like, mm-hmm. hey, I'll build you a nice shiny website.
Yeah, so. And I guess too, working with an agency or a strategist is the experience. They've done it before. They've worked with businesses of all different sizes and clientele. So they're going to have a good idea of what's going to work for your business.
Perfect. Okay, what's the summary then? What is the summary of when someone should cross-migrate?
If you want to grow, if you're not growing as fast as you are, if things are frustrating you, you're stuck trying to edit things on small pages every day or customers aren't checking out if they're bouncing on the checkout page and you just need some help, it's probably a good time to look into it.
Love it. All right. I don't think I've got anything more. I think that's a perfect summary. We've got Waldo back next week.
Hopefully,
we've got a lot of awesome guests. I think we mentioned this at the end. We've got merchants coming up that are going to tell us their success mm-hmm. stories. We've got people that have been in the media. We're talking like $40 million plus in six mm-hmm. months that we're going to be talking to, so that's going to be amazing. There's just so much coming up. Stay tuned. Did you want to do the outro? You did the intro.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to thank Akendo again, our sponsor. We're super thankful for them. And like I said, I love working with the team. So Akendo is a reviews app, but what it does is it enables Shopify and Shopify Plus retailers. So yes, it is exclusive to Shopify, mm-hmm. which makes us happy as Shopify partners, to leverage their most powerful asset, their customers. Akendo has all of the tools needed to capture and showcase customer-generated content, including ratings, reviews, photos, videos, and Q&A. I mean, if a customer leaves a good review on your site, you're going to want to reuse that somewhere else, right? Or if someone posts something on Instagram and tags you and says that they love your product, you want that on your site so the other customers viewing it mm-hmm. are going to think, yes, that customer is like me and they like it, so I'm going to buy it. Akendo is an awesome reviews app. If you want to know more about it, there's a link in our description and you can check it out. We also have a video with Akendo, Scott from Akendo in season two, I think, if you want to know more about it.
Yeah, he talked about, you know, all the percentages of how it helped clients sell more online. Yeah. So definitely check out that video. So thank you, Akendo.
Yeah.
And thank you, Emily. Awesome show. Thank you, Leo. Take us out.
That was an excellent episode. I loved joining you. And I guess the hard work I put into that ebook has finally paid off into a whole podcast episode.
Yeah.
So
subscribe, do all those things, like those things, make a comment.
Know. Yeah. Let us know if you want me back in or you want to kick me out and just Leo and Waldo again. But thank you. Happy Friday, Leo.
Happy Friday, mate.
Hey.
We're out of here. See ya.
See you, team.